As you entered the auditorium this morning, you probably saw the communion set at the front, and so we're going to have communion at the end of the service this morning. And I also see on the communion table oil, so just prepare yourself if you would like someone to pray with you after the service for healing, or just in that area of prayer that you already think of coming to the front at the end of the service so that the prayer teams can pray with you. You know, as I'm looking at the service and I'm looking at the service folder, I realize that on the service folder it says connecting points at 11. This morning there's connecting points for adults and there's connecting points for children, but our student ministry class is canceled because, of course, our students, the majority of them are on their way back from Winnipeg. In that area of prayer, I realized that maybe I didn't say what time they would be arriving back. They should be arriving back here in Saskatoon at about 7 o'clock. That's kind of the time when we expect them. And so as you're praying through the afternoon, keep that in mind. We continue on our series, the I Am series. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Eternity. That's what Jesus is talking about. Eternity. Legends or tales are built around eternity. I think of the Holy Grail with Harrison Ford, right? You know, in search of that cup, the cup of Christ that grants eternity. I was just recently went through all of those movies and just really, again, enjoyed them very, very much. But what does eternal or eternity mean to you? When I say eternal or eternity, what does that mean to you? We use phrases such as, you took an eternity. Right? Yeah. My kids, well, they didn't quite say it this way, but this is what they meant. I've been waiting for eternity for you. What took you so long? It wasn't eternity. It was only a few moments. But I heard that comment. Yes, sometimes my wife, yes. You know, when I drive down 22nd Street, sometimes I see this flag. And it is a flag that has the symbol of infinity or eternity. Again, the same concept is there. It's the Métis flag or symbol. And it does have the concept of infinity or eternity. That's the idea behind it. You know, I think of the Old Testament. And I love the Old Testament and reading through the Old Testament, especially the beginning up to Noah, because there the ages of the individuals, I just my mind starts working already and I keep thinking, wow, they lived a long time. Have you ever sensed that when you were reading the Old Testament from Genesis there, those first chapters to Noah? Did you know that Methuselah lived 969 years? You know, he died shortly before the flood. But eternity or longevity doesn't always go so well. In fact, it's interesting, and you begin to realize, even if you look at your own life and you say, well, I've only lived for, what, 18 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, whatever time frame you want to say, and you can say, you know, even in that short time, it seems that some things have gone sideways already on me. Imagine living 900 years. When you talk about things going sideways. And it did. It did. Because God said, that's why Noah, that's why the flood, because there was no one there that was righteous anymore. So that happens. Martin Armstrong wrote an article back in 2018. He's a British writer in 2018. Wrote an article, Who Wants to Live Forever? And in the article, this is just a paragraph out of the article, he says the following. He says, a recent survey by YouGov has revealed that even if the aging process could be stopped, only 17% of Brits would want to live forever. Only 17% if the aging process could be stopped. He goes on, he says, equally as popular as immortality is the far more modest lifespan of between 91 and 100 years. Perhaps surprisingly, the third most popular age was 81 to 90. That's what people wanted to live. The most popular was to say, hey, I want to live till between 81 and 90. With an average lifespan expectancy of 80.96 in the UK, it seems that the Brits are pretty satisfied with the current state of age. Interesting. And I think for Canadians, it would be about the same. I think most Canadians are just pretty satisfied with the length of life. But the concept of eternal life is found in this fifth statement, the fifth I am statement of Jesus. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and following, the background of the statement, of course, is a sickness, it's death, and it's a resurrection from the dead of Lazarus, a very close friend of Jesus. And we're familiar with that passage. But the verses we're looking at are 25 to 26, and those are the verses that we're specifically going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, you could take out your Bibles. John chapter 11, 25 to 26. Jesus said to her, that's to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is the fifth I am statement. Jesus starts this statement with I am, and we lose it in the translation, but in the translation it's a double I am, meaning God, and thereby declaring himself as God. For Martha, the question of the resurrection, this question was already answered. Because if you look to the verses just previous, and you have your Bibles, and if you didn't have them, I have it here, and electronic Bibles are so beautiful on your phone or something like that, you can follow along. Just a few verses earlier, we read the following. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, and I've got it underlined for you, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see, the concept of resurrection or of eternal life was common. It was what was expected. Martha expected Lazarus to come back to life one day. So why did Jesus intentionally say to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, since she already believed in the resurrection? You see, we've got to back up for a moment and think this through. Humanity was created for eternity. The world around us doesn't understand that. Humanity was created for eternity. But, there's a but there. Does humanity want to live for eternity? Why do I say that? Why do I ask that? Do you want to live for eternity? Turn to the person beside you. Now, don't give the Sunday school answer. Don't do that, okay? But just for a moment, turn to the person beside you and just discuss that. Do you want to live for eternity? As you're talking to the person beside you and as you're thinking about this, maybe you want to add some caveats to that. Well, I wouldn't mind living for eternity if. But think about that for a moment. Just take a moment to discuss that. Some of you aren't discussing. Maybe you've figured it out already. Do you want to live for eternity? If you were to ask some people, and maybe even this morning, this in this discussion, there's been mixed thoughts. You know, I'm not sure if I want to live for eternity. What does that really mean to live for eternity? You know, if you ask somebody that's been struggling with a debilitating illness, or if you ask somebody who was living on Skid Row for their entire life, or a person who'd been struggling with poverty and the effects of poverty, you might receive the answer, no, I'm not sure that I want to live for eternity if I have to live in this state that I'm currently living. You see, there's a caveat that could come along. You know, not like this. No, I don't want eternity. Not like this. You know, in Canada, we're seriously considering the legalization of euthanasia because people are tired of living. Senate has already passed Bill C-14, which opens the door for assisted suicide. And you know, we all know, if we've been following the news, there are people that have taken this decision and their lives into their own hands, and they've made a decision. Sometimes these individuals make this decision because they're so depressed, so discouraged, they feel so hopeless. They believe the lies that they're hearing in their heads, and they make a decision. Life can be a kind of living death. It is filled with disappointments, frustrations, fear, distrust, failures. Life is often framed by disappointments, pain, and discouragements. And then there's that silver bullet. If only concept that exists within all of our lives. If only my circumstances were to change. Came across a very humorous story this last week of somebody's circumstances that did change. A person stole a credit card and then, by chance, bought the winning lottery ticket with that stolen credit card. In Newfoundland, of course, so it is a Canadian story. And the individual was arrested because they used that stolen credit card and it just showed up on the system and all of that. And they were charged with possessing a stolen credit card and fraud. The lottery company responded by stating that the person will not receive the prize money because, and here's the quote, they only pay prizes for lawfully acquired tickets. So here was that person who was, you know, stole the credit card because their needs were greater or their wants were greater than what they had available to them. And they got that winning ticket. You see, the silver bullets don't always work out the way we think or want them to. People lose heart and hope in this world. Who wants to live for eternity? That's the question. And that's what Jesus is bringing into this conversation. He's bringing in a completely different concept of eternity. And sometimes we need to hear this, and we need to realize this too. You see, eternity is not just about time. And I've already alluded to that. It's also about quality. There's two pieces to eternity. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And we could say, that's time. And then Jesus said, I am the life, and that's quality. The truth is, people are dead. They are. Every day you walk out around the world and you're talking to people, you're meeting people, many of them are dead. They are. We could say walking dead. That's what the scriptures tell us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You see, we are born with a sin nature, and we are dead. That's what the scriptures tell us. That's the default position of everyone that enters this world. They are dead. When God is not real, when God is not in the equation of their life, then they are dead. And everything grows old and boring and negative and discouraging. Without God, love dies because it ends up being about yourself. And I think some of us are aware of that. Without God, relationships end up tiring because they're really about yourself and not the other person. And some of you have encountered that. Even in marriage relationships, you've been married to someone and along the way you begin to realize, you know, this really is all about them, or maybe it's all about you. Without God, kindness and trust becomes twisted because it's connected to self. Without God, love dies. Without God, you're dead. Oh yeah, you live, and you live for eternity. You live for eternity because you and I were created for eternity. There's the irony in that. You see, Martha knew that there was a resurrection. And Jesus told Martha, yes, there is a resurrection there, but there's another resurrection that can take place. And that resurrection gives life. And that's so important. That's so important. The concept of life after death is not new. It's so old. We go back to the Old Testament, go back to the book of Job. In the book of Job, Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, here Job says the following. He says that I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. That's Job. Did you know that the book of Job is probably the oldest recorded writing? We as the Christian Missionary Alliance, we believe that all human beings will live for eternity. We believe that God created all of us for eternity. So the question isn't about the resurrection. Will it happen? The question is more, where will you spend eternity? Or how will you spend eternity? That's really what the question ought to be. There's another thought that we need to add to all of this. And that's, when does this take place? The resurrection that Martha was talking about, well, in the book of Revelation, there we find, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 20. And you read about that revelation, about that resurrection that Martha was talking about. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11 to 15, there's previous verses, but this is the core of it. Verses 11 to 15. John writes, he says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Now hold it a second there. At this moment, your mind could kind of move down a pathway and you're beginning to think, well, okay, there's the book of life, but there are other books, right? Another book was opened, which is the book of life, but there's other books. And I wonder what it says in these other books. Maybe they talk about good things that I've done. Well, let's continue. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. There's that word done again.
Isn't that interesting? But hold it a second. Hold it a second. So everybody at this moment, right? It seems that every human being that was created is now alive and standing before the throne. Right? Isn't that what you know, from what we've read? Yeah. Okay. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Now here it is. So you're thinking of what they have done. But what is the done really about? The answer to that, and I'm emphasizing this because sometimes we might think it's about works, and then we might say, well, maybe some will be in heaven. You know? But then verse 15 says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And the only way to get your name written in the book of life is to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. So it's not a matter of works, but what you have done. Do you believe in Jesus? That's the question. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus? John writes the following words, "For God so loved the world," a verse that we are so familiar with, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." By now, you should start to realize that when Jesus is talking about the resurrection, when they're talking about eternal life, they're talking about quality. The quantity is there, eternal, but they're talking about quality. Quality of eternal life. God promises through faith in Jesus Christ, the quality of our eternal life will be different than those who do not believe in Jesus. See, everyone has eternal life. But the question is where will you spend eternity? So we go back to John chapter 11, verses 25 and to 26, and Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." And we're talking about life, an abundant life is what we're talking about. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? The emphasis is on the living. And then to help us even, just a little bit further on, Jesus defines eternal life even better for us. In John chapter 17, verse 3, he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you," meaning the Father, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John 17, 3. That's eternal life. That is life. That's abundant life. And you know what? It starts now and future. You see, we can have a taste of that abundant life right now today. If we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, if we believe. You see, because faith or belief is transformational. That's sometimes where the church fails. We forget that belief is transformational. And it starts today, the moment you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not just a head thing. It's not just a heart thing. It's a head, heart, and hands and feet thing. That's what it is. And so that's what Jesus is trying to get across to Martha. The resurrection happens the moment we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Because at that moment we receive life. And so Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, it says the following: "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then the hands and the feet. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And so that's what Jesus is talking about. And so for us today, I think if we could have the life that Jesus is talking about, then our answer to eternity would be, yes, of course I want eternity. Because the eternity that Jesus is talking about is eternity that far exceeds our imagination. We get glimpses of that in the scriptures. We're told that there's no sickness, there are no tears in heaven. In the presence of God, that will all be gone. That is the eternity that God offers. And it starts today. It starts today. Now imagine for one moment, if our community, if the west side of the city of Saskatoon, you know, like it says over there, it says on the wall, I'll look at it so you look at it too. It says our purpose is to impact our world, that's the west side of the city, by being a loving community of fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Imagine for a moment if we were to live that transformational life on the west side of the city. And then, because people saw that, others accepted Christ and started to live that transformational life. What would the west side of the city look like? Would we appear in the Star Phoenix? If we did, what would the article say? Jesus said, "You are the salt and the light of the world." And he's placed us here on the west side to live Christ. This table that we're going to take part in, this table here talks about that resurrected life. You see, when we partake in this table, what we're saying is that Christ is our Lord and Savior. That he has established a new worldview, a new framework for us to live in. So when you take the cup, what you're doing is declaring that Christ's blood has cleansed you. Your sin is forgiven. You are a new creation. The bread, the body of Christ, he paid the price for you. And you are new in him. And now it's up to you. God has given us all the power he possibly can for us to live that transformed life. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God resides in you. And it's up to you to walk with him.